Our second reading is from Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. As we come to that, let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we now come to your word. This is precious, Lord. It is your word spoken long ago and written down for our good, Lord. In here is wisdom, in here is salvation, in here is hope and your promises. Lord, speak to us today through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." And the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Amen. Last year, when my wife and I went camping at Hall's Gap, while we were there, a snake came into the camp kitchen. It was a red-bellied black snake. And in Australia, we have the most venomous snakes in all the world. They can be deadly. But while we needed to be careful, a single snake in the camp kitchen was easily avoided and easily dealt with. Imagine, though, camping out in tents that you can't properly seal up. And imagine there's a plague of snakes. Snakes everywhere. Imagine that. Going to sleep at night and snakes being everywhere. In our reading today, a plague of snakes came into the camp of Israel as a judgment against them, and many of the Israelites died. Now, the book of Numbers is best known for, well, the numbers. Pages and pages of numbers, counts of tribes and family lines. It's one of the books in the Bible that we might skip through really quickly or skip over entirely. But within it are gems. Treasures, and our passage today is one of those, and it actually connects well with what Jesus did on the cross. The book of Numbers was written by Moses when the Israelites were going through the desert. And in the desert, many a time Israel rebelled against God. They rebelled because of food, because of water, and because they thought their enemies were too powerful. They rebelled for what we might count as good reasons. But underneath their rebellion was basically a failure to trust in the Lord. Now, the Lord had brought them out of Egypt and was taking them to the Promised Land. And as he brought them out of Egypt, he defeated their enemies with such shows of power. Water was turned to blood, the sky rained fire, plagues of gnats and frogs and so on. And when Pharaoh's armies chased Israel into the desert, he parted the sea for them so they could cross over. And then he brought that sea back over the top of their enemies. Even in the desert, he made water pour from a rock. He made food appear on the ground all around them like dew in the morning. He brought flocks of birds to them to give them meat to eat. And yet, they would still rebel. They would not trust the Lord. And Numbers 21 talks about one of those rebellions. Verse 4 says, they travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Despite the Lord's feeding them, providing them with water, and defeating their enemies, they were not satisfied with the Lord. They distrusted his intentions. They imagined a better life back in Egypt. But you must remember that back in Egypt, they were oppressed. They were enslaved. In Egypt, their boys were actually being put to death. How could they rebel? How could they not trust the loving and powerful God who had taken them under his wing and rescued them from Egypt? How could they want to go back? They were his treasured people, his chosen people. Their fathers, forefathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promised land was their inheritance, promised to them by God. It would be theirs, and God was finally taking them back to deliver on that promise. Can you imagine Christ returning and the church saying, "No, go back. We like things as they are"? The people of Israel rebelled in the desert, and they rebelled because they distrusted the Lord and his intentions for them. When we distrust the Lord, it's a fundamental breakdown in our relationship with him. The first thing that disappeared when mankind fell into sin was our trust of the Lord. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, they ate in the expectation that God had actually been hiding something from them, something good from them. Satan tempted them with the idea that they could be more, that God was somehow holding something back. And rather than trust God, they believed the lie, and so they ate from the tree. And sin has become so ingrained in us now that we just sin automatically, but behind our sin remains this lack of trust in the Lord. If you're doing something that you know God says you shouldn't do, it's because you don't trust him. You don't trust that what he says is best for you and best for others. Sin comes from a lack of trust. It comes from a lack of faith. And the Israelites rebelling against God in the desert is because they didn't trust him. They didn't trust the Lord. And see, God is good. He's the source of everything that is good. He's the creator of the universe. And whatever sin and wickedness is in the world is basically our fault. The curse that has been laid upon this world and all the troubles and trials and problems that we have is all our fault. God himself is always true, always good, always keeps his promises, always intends good for his people, and yet we fail to trust him. And when we fail to trust him, we descend away from what is good, what is righteous, what is holy, and we make this world of his worse. It's a fitting punishment that those who rebel against God in the world he created should die. A potter making a vase from who sees a piece of clay that's kind of out of place will shuffle it off, get rid of it. A carpenter who is making a table will get rid of all of the splinters. A computer programmer gets rid of all of the bugs. The creator of the world, it's going to get rid of all the sinners. Verse 6 says, "Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died." It was their rebellion, their sin, their distrust of the Lord that brought this punishment. Many Israelites died, and it wasn't a small incident. It wasn't like one guy got bitten by a snake on the edge of the camp. Don't think this was just a few snakes. This was a plague of snakes, so many snakes that the connection of the snakes to their rebellion was obvious to them all. Verse 7 says, "The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Now pray that the Lord will take away the snakes from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." How many people died before they recognized the connection? Tens, hundreds, thousands. How many lay on their deathbed hoping for Moses' prayer to be answered? This was a tragedy. The rebellion of Israel was resulting in their death. And it's no different for us. Do you think that your distrust of God and rebellion against him is worthy of anything less than death and hell? It isn't. You who sin, how can you think that you might live on while your distrust of the Lord and your sin spoil everything that he has made? Your sins spoil the world. I probably don't have to tell you of the problems that pride causes in the world. People stand over one another. People don't come to terms with each other. People don't resolve their differences. What about greed? What part of nature hasn't been unnecessarily ruined because of greed? How many families are not affected by the fighting between siblings because of greed? What about the circumstances of lust or of envy or of rage or of anger, of sloth? These things we are all guilty of to varying degrees. And with our sins, we ruin ourselves. We were originally made in the image of God, and we ruin that synergy and that beauty with our sin. With our sin, we ruin relationships with others. With our sins, we encourage others to sin also. With our sins, we spoil the things that God has made. How can the Creator not act? Death and hell exist because of sin, and because we have sinned, we all deserve to go there. But Moses' prayer was answered. Many Israelites died, but many were saved. They had all sinned the same, but many would now live. And what God asked Moses to do is particularly interesting. Verse 8 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. A snake, the punishment for their sin, was raised upon the pole, and all they needed to do was to look at it. What's the scientific value of that? Look at the pole and you will live. I imagine there would have been some who didn't look at the pole, thinking of the stupidity of the whole idea. I can imagine someone lying there in pain from the snakes and going, "Why should that do anything? Why would you carry me from this place in the camp to that place in the camp just so I can look at the pole and die there instead? This is silly. Maybe I'll get better on my own. Just leave me where I am." The idea is crazy, isn't it? Look at this bronze serpent on the pole and you'll be cured. How can that resolve anything? I expect that some Israelites still died, saying to themselves, "I told you he brought us into the desert to die, and here I am dying in the desert." But those who looked at the bronze snake upon the pole were cured. And the cure, of course, wasn't the snake on the pole. It was their turning to trust in the Lord again. It was by faith they found their cure. See, God could have told them where to find a cure so they could go out and find it and bring it back and heal themselves. And he could have told them how to produce an antivenom. He could have told them how to clear the camp of snakes. He could have told them what needed to be done to sustain the dying while their bodies could recover from the poison. But rather than asking them to do anything, he simply asked them to trust him and do this very, very silly thing. Here was this crazy scheme that should do nothing at all, but if they followed it, if they did it, if they trusted the Lord enough, just enough, to take a look at that snake, they would once more be healed, and they would have once more learned to trust the Lord. Now, there was repentance. You can see that in their appeal to Moses. But the cure was nothing but faith, nothing but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord was the cure. The Israelite rebellion began because they failed to trust in the Lord. But now the Lord had brought them to restore their trust in him. So why am I preaching this today of all days? This is Good Friday. How has what has happened to the Israelites got anything to do with Easter, with the day that Jesus went to the cross? Well, Jesus once had a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was actually very knowledgeable in the scriptures, but Jesus was actually surprised at how little he had understood them. And during that conversation, Jesus said this, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Son of Man is Jesus, and the lifting up was him being lifted up on the cross. And now those who look to Jesus on the cross can live and can have eternal life. You see, the problem the Israelites faced in the desert is just a smaller example of what is happening across the world to all of us. We have all rebelled against God. We've all ceased to trust the Lord, and each of us has turned to our own way. We've been living our lives our own way and doing what is evil in His sight. And what awaits us now is not simply death by snakes, but death and hell. The punishment for your sin is death and hell. We had ceased trusting the Lord. We had turned from His ways. We believed that our own way was better than His way. And as a result, we have ruined this world. This world is now cursed because of our sin. There is war and famine and poverty and grief and sadness and all kinds of evils and wickedness because of us. Because of our sin. But Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And everyone who looks to Him to be saved will have eternal life. We will escape death and hell. We will find ourselves in the kingdom of God, which will go on forever, and there sin and wickedness will be no more. And creation will be perfected. And there we will glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The snake that was on the pole for the Israelites was a symbol of the punishment for their sins. And when Jesus went to the cross, He received in Himself the punishment for all of our sins. He suffered and died there on the cross. What we should have received, He received. The wrath for our sin was poured out on Him there. And so now we can be freed from the condemnation of death and hell. And it sounds so simple. Look to Jesus and be saved. It sounds stupid. How can that possibly make up for all my sin? How can that really fix anything? But the fix truly begins here, because it begins with faith, with trust in the Lord. And when we trust in the Lord through Christ, our relationship with God is restored. And that is the beginning of everything. It is our salvation. It is eternal life, but it's also just the beginning. With trust in the Lord comes the promise that not only are our sins forgiven, but that we will have new life, that the sin that is in you will be dealt with. And over the course of this life, your sinfulness will start to be put behind you. And then in the life that is to come, sin and wickedness will once for all have been dealt with. And there we will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and know Him truly. And the same love and grace that He has shown to us will fill us to the brim. There a world is being prepared for us, a world without sin, a world without wickedness, without disease, without death, without grief or pain, without toil and trial. It will be a place filled with love. It is our promised land. And there we will be with God. And it can be yours by looking to Jesus. Look to Him, seek His salvation, and your sins will be forgiven. But just like some of those Israelites in the desert who didn't think that something so simple could save them and refused to look at the snake, so it will be for those who don't turn to Jesus. If you don't turn to Him, your sins will condemn you before God, and the Creator of all, who is perfectly good, cannot allow you to live forever with Him. But for all who will trust in Christ and accept Him as Lord and Saviour, there is salvation and eternal life, all because Christ went to the cross for us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, what can we say for all that You have done for us through Your Son? He's Your only begotten Son, and yet You send Him into this world to rescue us from our sin, and to rescue us, He needed to die for us in the most horrible way. Our Lord, we thank You for all of Your grace and Your mercy that we can find in Him. And it does sometimes seem to us too simple a thing, Lord, to simply trust in Him, to look to Him and find ourselves rescued from all of our sin. It seems so simple. And yet that is all it is. All we need to do, Lord, is take you at your word. Trust your Son. Return to him. And we will be saved. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will never lose sight of that. That we will never kind of say to ourselves, well, it is because we are good. It will never be because there was something in us that made us worthy of being rescued. But it will simply always be to us that you rescued us. And we looked to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Son and all we have in him. In his name we pray. Amen.